every Monday for the last number of weeks here, we have been profiling some of the social enterprises around the county in association with County Kildare Leader Partnership. And this week, it's the turn of Macaulay Place in Naas. And General Manager at Macaulay Place, Mark Hazard, joins us now. Good morning, Mark.
How are you on?
Good, good. It's somewhere that I have visited on a number of occasions, actually, Macaulay Place in Naas. Beautiful facility and beautiful surroundings as well. And I know you do great work there. Tell us a little bit about yourselves for those who maybe might not be aware of the work that you do.
Yeah, we're, I suppose, firstly, we're a registered charity and a housing association, and we provide independent living for elderly people is our core business in effect. So we have 53 apartments on site, and 75% of them are allocated through the Kildare County Council social housing entity, and the remainder are private, where they pay key money and rent, etc. And we run that waiting list. Then we have, like, I suppose our mission statement is to provide independent living in the heart of a vibrant community. So the vibrant community is everything else that we do here, starting with our tea rooms. That's very much at the heart of Macaulay Place. That serves lovely freshly baked scones and brown bread and quiches, and Nolan is a trooper down in that kitchen, and Julie and Miriam and Anne-Marie and the girls in the front of house, they do a fantastic job looking after their, I suppose, residents, number one, as well. They're very much a, it's kind of like a social interaction for our residents as well, that they have somewhere to kind of go for a cup of tea and a chat. And the girls would very much be aware of them, friendly with them, and be aware of any issues, etc. We also run a Arts and Culture Centre, which is in the old Nuns Chapel. That's where we're located, I suppose, in the Sisters of Mercy's building that was donated to us many years ago. So we have a chapel that's now called the Arts and Culture Centre that has everything in it, from concerts to weddings. We do humanist, spiritual and civil ceremonies in there. We do concerts. We have a concert even this week with Brian Kennedy playing on Thursday. We also run a community centre, which are typical community groups, everything from massage for babies right up to active retirement and everything in between, and very busy auntie, and it works really well. We also have a community garden called the Lishna Garden. It's a woodland garden with a river running through it, like a sensory garden, and has a bedding area with herbs and plants, etc. And finally, we have a Lishna Centre, which is the original convent building. It was a much smaller building than this one, built in 1839. We refurbished it over the past couple of years, built an atrium onto it that has a full glass window that looks out at the woodland garden, and that's just been completed and will be open very soon to the public. So a busy entity. Residents, I call Macaulay Place like a college campus for the elderly because they can literally get involved in what's going on here or not, but we find if they do, they get great enjoyment out of it. And I suppose as our founder, Margarita Solon, would have said from the beginning, that we're a non-medical model for the elderly. That we don't provide care, but we do care. But they also get enjoyment if they get involved in things, and I think it releases endorphins, gets the blood flowing, and they seem to be happier if they get involved in activities. So it works really well, and I better stop talking there.
No, that's, I mean, that gives a fantastic overview of who you are and what you do down at Macaulay Place. And I know, I remember back when you were getting set up and in the early years afterwards, that you were very adamant that there was to be no sense of institution at Macaulay Place at all, that it was
Absolutely,
people wanted to live, people wanted to move there, and it was somewhere that they could still keep their independence. It was back in the early 2000s, I think, Mark, that you originally set up, was it?
Yeah, our founder, again, Margarita Solon, was a geriatric nurse, and she came up with the concept in 97 from memory, and she could see, I suppose, patients going from the hospital to nursing home and felt there should be something in between, that they didn't appear to be ready for that, and if they could have downsized, etc., that would be a perfect fit. So she literally came up with this concept, formed a voluntary board in 2000, spent many years lobbying to get the funding for it through the Department of Environment, which I think was $7.5 million eventually, and literally the place was completed in 2011. So it took quite a while, but she's a very determined lady, and the board, she had at the time, her excellent board, and they were fully behind her, and they got this place up and running by 2011.
You couldn't have asked for a better location either, because you're located essentially right in the heart of Naas Town.
Purposely chosen, and in fairness again, the whole concept is that we have residents that are now living here 11 years, and naturally, the criteria to get in is to be 65 or over, capable of independent living, and ideally a connection to NACE is a preference. But the bit is that even if a resident's health and mobility deteriorates, the shops are so close by, and I suppose the pub and the bookies and the hairdressers and everything else, that they still are able to go out, and that's hugely important to them. And they're very proud of independence, and that's why the location was chosen by Marguerite and the team at the time.
It's a very popular place. I know that people want to go and live there, and I'm sure the lists are quite long as well. But it's also open to the public to pop into the tea rooms and stuff, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Like our tea rooms, I suppose, has grown from strength to strength. I think initially the perception outside was a building for elderly people, and they thought it was, I suppose, a kind of a nursing home concept. So it took a while to for people to understand that that's not what it is. So the tea rooms is very much open to the community and our residents. We do a fantastic afternoon tea, if I say so myself, and we do a great discount through Pigsback as well. We've catered for weddings, we've catered for an 80th birthday not too long ago. We cater for, you know, baby showers, you name it. So the quality of the food, I suppose, is the proof is in the pudding, as it were, because we're getting a lot of bookings for large groups that have seen and tasted the quality of what's been served there. And it's a great buzz of a place. Like, if our residents have told us that if they walk through the lobby on a Sunday when it's not open, that it's a completely different place. Like, the buzz is missing, the noise, the chatter, the smell of freshly baked produce. So it really is an important part of Macaulay Place, yeah.
You've received a good vote of confidence 10 years ago when President Michael D. Higgins visited Macaulay Place. It received national and international recognition when President Higgins stated that it should be used as an exemplar nationwide. Yeah. So I'm sure that was great.
Yeah, would you believe it? I think he came in June 2012. I came as manager in September, so I missed that. But
right.
Naturally, I'm fully aware that his visit was to be 15, 20 minutes. I think he was here an hour and a half. He was that much blown away by it. The whole town came out. Huge, huge support on the day. But like, he still speaks about Macaulay Place to this day as an exemplar for facilities for elderly. So we certainly utilised that, his wording on that one, because he's a good guy, and he's a great guy to have on our side, you know.
Finally then, Mark, in terms of future plans, is there any plans to expand Macaulay Place, given the demand?
Yeah, we're certainly aiming to do that quite soon, we hope. We have a waiting list of over 100 people for our private apartments, which is 25% of our apartments. So we have 104 people on that. The social housing comes through Kildare County Council waiting list. We need to build more, and we need to build them soon. We're in early stage talks with Kildare County Council about doing something, and we're hoping that we may have something in the pipeline in the next 2 to 3 years. So yes is the answer. We need to progress. The demand is there. We've got it right. We're used as an example with other entities in the housing market. And yes, we need to do it, and we need to do it soon.
Okay, great stuff. Well, it's the latest in our interviews of social enterprises around the county in association with the County Kildare Leader Partnership. That is Mark Hazard, the General Manager at Macaulay Place in Naas. This is week 7, I think, of the interviews that we've been doing, and it wraps up next week with Sinead Pullen of the Old Hardware in Narramore, a place I was actually in yesterday. Popped in there for a cup of tea and a scone in the old hardware shop in Narramore. What a beautiful village that actually is. And I noticed the little post office there at Narramore, and the old courthouse, and all of that was around. So fair play to all at Macaulay Place in Naas, but also the old hardware in Narramore. And we're going to be talking to Sinead Pullen next week at the same time, next Monday at 10 past 10.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof. In the heart of Newbridge, whitewatersc.ie.
A public meeting took place on Friday night in Kill GAA regarding the equestrian centre outside the village potentially being used to house up to 348 Ukrainian refugees. The meeting was attended by approximately 150 to 200 locals who expressed concern about the lack of consultation about the proposal, the lack of amenities within the area, and also said the facility at the equestrian centre itself is not fit to hold that many people. Also in attendance were Kildare North TDs Bernard Durkin, Catherine Murphy and Rhaida Cronin, as well as councillors on the Naas Municipal District, Carmel Kelly, Colm Kenny, Evie Salmon, Anne Breen and Mayor of Kildare, Fintan Brett. Last night, it emerged that a fire broke out on the site of the equestrian centre. Gardaí say a protest was held by a group of people outside the premises earlier yesterday, but it passed off without incident. No injuries have been reported and the scene is being preserved for examination. I was at the scene last night, emergency services arriving at around 8:30. Investigations are ongoing. Indeed, this morning, this programme sent an email to Minister Roderick O'Gorman's office, the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien's office and Kildare County Council, asking for a statement specifically outlining how this site was chosen and what the process behind it was, because KFM understands the council do not deem it suitable. Shortly, we'll hear the views of Kill resident Diana Maynard speaking after Friday night's public meeting. But first, Mayor of Kildare and local Fine Gael councillor Fintan Brett had this to say.
What we had here is people in Kill approaching councillors and that about work going on in the equestrian centre, and the rumour around that there was it was going to be used for direct provision. And I suppose what's happened then, I started getting a lot of emails, and other councillors and TDs got a lot of backup on it and queries and that. So we brought this to the department and that, but we're finding it very hard to get answers back. Subsequently, when we went to the Kildare County Council and that, they confirmed to us that there was an application in there to turn that into a refugee place for Ukrainians. But at the time, nobody knew, of course, that it was for Ukrainians. The word was it was Ukrainians or it was for international protection. So the council then confirmed that that the CEO and the various directors were not in favour of this site, that they thought it was totally unsuitable. But work has continued apace at it and that. And that's where this arrived for this meeting here tonight.
Good turnout in terms of the amount of people that were here, public representatives, TDs, etc. Some constructive engagement was had, but the general consensus here is anger at the lack of consultation and the lack of information, which you've echoed, Fintan. But also the questions asked now, where do we go from here and what's the current state of play?
Well, at the moment, as per the circular we received at 4 o'clock this afternoon, that there's no contract signed as yet because there's no fire certificate in place and there's a few other issues to be dealt with. So, as you've said there, Owen, you heard the conversation and, to be fair, a very cross audience here tonight and a lot of detailed questioning. And to be fair, I certainly have to take on board what they're saying, and that insofar as there's no medical facilities, the doctor can't take people, even though the proposed centre at the equestrian is supposed to have its own canteen and it's supposed medical and security arrangements. But people are not accepting that. They see a bigger picture, and I suppose the most reason this is happening is the secrecy that went on about it. It's absolutely, if there's any lesson to be learned from this, is that the department must be out front in what they're proposing. And again, Owen, we spoke a few weeks ago about it, and I made the point that if there was an approach made to various villages, that per thousand would they take a family, Kill would be first up to the plate to do that, rather than having a Friday evening here with TDs and councillors here feeling the ast of people and their anger at what's going on behind their backs.
Is the equestrian centre itself suitable to house up to 350 people?
I would say absolutely not. But however, for some reason or another, and that's for some other people to answer, there seems to be a push that this has to be used. It's a floodplain. There can be no housing on it. It was the county development plan refused numerous attempts to change the zoning on it because it's a floodplain, because it's equestrian. Plus the fact that, from what I understand, the sewerage that from that will go into a pump station for the stables, which is 150 people, 52 houses. So if you take three houses, which is usually how they size up pump stations, if that goes from 150 up to 500, that pump station will not be able to facilitate that. So what happens into the sewerage? There's all these problems there. It's a mile out from the town, and as and you heard it, a lot of people here tonight, we have no community hall. We have very little facilities in Kill.
Just to finish then, Fintan, the overarching question is what happens now? It's all right. You know, a couple of hundred people here in the hall in Kill GAA expressing frustration and anger. But it all depends now on where we go from here and what happens from this meeting. If you were to put your honest hat on, is there any way of stopping this, or is it going to go ahead? Or are the people here wasting their time?
I'm not sure. I honestly don't know. I can understand their fury at the lack of consultation and that, and I just don't know. But from what people have said, and you heard the statements here at the meeting, they said there seems to be some serious push coming from somewhere to the department that this site must be used and that, and that needs to be answered by someone else.
The concerns of the residents are about the facilities that we have in the village, the infrastructure that's in the village already, the doctor's full capacity, the school is at full capacity. We haven't got the room for 348 refugees coming in. Basically, we found out through word of mouth that work was being carried out up there, and locals from the stables stopped a delivery driver going in and seeing that there was fireboards being delivered in. And then when we dug a little bit further, we found out that the refugees were going to go in there. I contacted Fintan Brett and he confirmed that that was the plan, that the OPW were given the go-ahead for Ukrainian refugees to go in there. We have to form a committee and we have to bring it up to the government buildings, and we have to get Roger Gorman to answer as to why he is letting this go ahead. That's what we have to do. We have to form a committee and stand together as a community and get answers why they're going to let 348 refugees into Kill Equestrian Centre. That is a potential floodplain. It has flooded twice, 50 years ago, and it flooded again back in 2010. And they're going to put in these poor people that are coming from a war-torn country in to a place that's going to flood potentially again. And they're saying that it's safe to do so. There's no proper sewerage up there. As I said already, the infrastructure isn't in the village. The school's at full capacity. The GP is at full capacity. There's no community centre. We have one GAA club. There's nothing as it is for the children that are in the village already, let alone another few hundred families coming in.
That's Diana Maynard, their resident in Kill Village, speaking on Friday night at the public meeting. Now, we issued an email to Kildare County Council, the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, and Minister Roderick O'Gorman, asking for a statement. And we've had a response from Minister Roderick O'Gorman's office from the department there, saying that since the Russian invasion of Ukraine in February 2022, more than 54,000 people have been forced to leave their homes in Ukraine and have sought refuge here in Ireland. Okay, we know all of that. Discussions, he says, are ongoing at this stage between the department and the provider about the potential use of the Kill Equestrian Centre to house Ukrainian beneficiaries of temporary protection, which, should the contract be agreed, so that's an important point, there is no contract agreed yet, will be comprised of families, including mothers, fathers and children and single females. The vast majority of those seeking refuge from Ukraine are in this category, and therefore, that is where the greatest accommodation need arises. The department engages external inspection companies to ensure independent inspections are carried out at all properties and to be used by Ukrainians. Inspections are carried out to ensure fire safety, general health and safety, sanitary facilities, food service security, and the general condition of building is up to the standard required. No person can be placed in the accommodation until all inspections are carried out satisfactorily. And that comes in from Minister Roderick O'Gorman's office. We've had no response as of yet from Kildare County Council or from the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, or indeed his office, but we'll keep an eye on that. Some of the messages that are coming in to us, I know that investigations are still ongoing in terms of what happened last night with the fire at the Kill Equestrian Centre. I think Ciara, actually we can go to Ciara in Studio 2. You have an update on this, Ciara.
Yes, Owen, thank you very much. I was just speaking with the guards. So the fire brigade is still there currently, just putting out the remaining parts of the fire, bits smouldering, etc. It's at one of the outbuildings on the site where the fire did break out. And the guards did confirm this morning that there is a small protest, is how they worded it, happening outside the gates. The examination will begin in the next little while when the fire brigade have finished their duties, and it will be clarified will happen after that and the ownership, etc. owns. So the public have reacted to the blaze that did break out yesterday evening at about 8 o'clock. The guards and fire services were alerted after eight, I should say, not that it broke out then. No injuries have been reported to date, and a protest was staged by a group of people outside the premises earlier on Sunday. Gardaí did say that that passed off without incident, and of course any local reaction we will have on the news with Cuiva.
Indeed, and we'll return to it on the show tomorrow, I'm sure, and you can keep an eye on our social media and our news bulletins throughout the course of the day here on KFM. Just want to remind people as well, Ciara, before we go to Councillor Brendan Wise, there is a public meeting taking place tonight at 7:30 in the Westgrove Hotel in Clane. That's to do with the bus services in the that area of the county around Clane, Allenwood and Edenderry. It's been hosted by Councillor Aidan Farrelly. We'll be attending that meeting. We'll have reaction to it tomorrow, 7:30 at the Westgrove Hotel in Clane.
So I am joined now by Fine Gael councillor, that is Brendan Wise of Clane Maynooth. You're very welcome this morning.
Morning, Ciara.
So we want to start with metal bollards here. You asked about the installation. That is on a footpath in front of the school walk in Allenwood.
Oh, that's actually from last month, Ciara. So I was speaking about that last month, and the council did agree. We had cars going up on the footpath there, and the council did agree that we would put in some bollards to address the situation there. The first item I asked for was to look at providing a footpath on the green between Kyle Dove Village and Tudor Court Housing Estate, and that leads to the local shop and post office. So you have a small section of green, about 20 metres, where people have made a path themselves by using it to get to the, it's the nearest way of getting to the shop, and it kind of gets slippy and mucky in wet weather. It's only 20 metres long, a little bit of concrete there, and we'd make the footpath safe. I know a local community worker working with the resident association there has kind of trimmed it and kept it nice and tidy, but really it needs concrete in order for it to be safer, and the council said they'd do a costing on that, and then they'll allocate the funding to it. The other area I asked about is the new pedestrian crossings in Derrinturn. And what we have in Derrinturn is, over the summer holidays, the whole road and footpath layout in front of St. Conda's National School has been redesigned and rebuilt. And I've been out there on a couple of occasions at the school open and closing times to see how it's working. And it looks like it's a great success, because the whole idea, and it's NTA funding, it's active schools funding, is to try and encourage, make it safer for children to walk and cycle to school and encourage them to do that. And definitely I saw a lot of families walk to the school, and I saw the bike racks full of bikes. As part of that though, we did put in two pedestrian crossings, one at the school and one near the church on the main road in the village, and they haven't been connected yet, so the lights aren't working. Now the one at the school is working very well without the lights, but this one on the main road, we really need the lights working there. So the delay at the moment is with the ESB, who say they have a backlog of new connections, but the ESB are saying maybe 2 or 3 weeks to get to that, and they're trying to get to it sooner, but we really need those pedestrian lights up and running, and then we'll finish off this project nicely.
Brendan, if we move to the second tendering process, that is for Allenwood Playground. You asked about the estimated timelines also for that process.
I did, yeah. This is a long-term project, obviously, Allenwood Playground. It does take a while to get planning and everything. And we did get planning approved for a playground in Allenwood last year, and we did issue a tender at the start of this year. Now, the tender was a big tender. It was for the playground, a BMX pump track, and a multi-use gaming area, so a basketball or football court. And then, unfortunately, due to construction costs, and I suppose the construction industry is busy these days and it's hard to get contractors, only one contractor tendered for the construction of the entire project, and the quote was way over the budgeted amount. So this time we're tendering it again, but we're breaking it up into those three separate projects, one for the playground, one for the BMX pump track, and one for the gaming area. And then we're hoping we get at least enough quotes for the playground that meet the budget for the project, and then we could begin construction on that. The councillor is saying if they do get enough quotes, they can begin construction next year.
Okay, Fine Gael's councillor Brendan Wise there of the Clane Maynooth Municipal District. Thanks for the time.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Sports Review Monday on Kildare Today.
Yes, indeed. Time to look back at the weekend sporting action. Joining me on the line now is KFM sports commentator Ger McNally. Morning, Ger.
Good morning, Owen.
I suppose, not the very best of weekends from a Kildare point of view, unfortunately. Naas, Ballyteague and Strachan all losing out in the Leinster Championships. Good news from Maynooth Camogie point of view, though. Their junior Camogie side advancing to the next round of the Championship with a win over Mount Leinster Rangers of Carlow. Let's start off, though, with Naas yesterday against Kilmacud Crokes. It was always going to be a difficult test going to Parnell Park, and they found that out the hard way, Ger.
Yeah, absolutely, Owen, and it is a disappointing weekend to see all our three football champions defeated at the first stage in Leinster. Yeah, three tough away ties for all teams, but at the same time, you know, we're supposed to be of high standards, and we expect a lot probably from our teams here in Kildare. Certainly, Naas were always going to be up against this, because you could argue that not only are Kilmacud Crokes maybe the best team in Leinster, they potentially are one of the best teams in Ireland, and they will be gunning for an All-Ireland title, having gone very close to one last year. But at the same time, I think Naas will have some real regrets about elements of their performance, because they did some good things and recovered very well after the shock of conceding such a bizarre goal in the 7th minute. I'm sure a lot of people would have seen it back now on social media or on television. And yeah, it was just a moment of madness, really, from Cathal Daly when he was penalised for over-carrying the ball. And he just placed the ball down and teed it up perfectly for Darren Mullen when Luke Mullins, the next goalkeeper, was out of position. And Darren Mullen, with his quick thinking, was able to pop the ball into an empty net. And really, it was as bad a start as you could have wished when you give up a soft, easy goal like that. And Shane Walsh then tagged on a couple of scores quickly. And before the 10th minute, Naas found themselves 5 points down. But to their credit, they battled back brilliantly after that. They had a really, really good 10-minute spell. And they showed the sides that they are capable of being. And they put Crokes on the back foot. They scored 4 points to get back to within a single point, but I said it at the time in the commentary of Naas, the first 5 points that they scored, two of them they were clean through, including the very first point of the game inside the opening minute. They were clean through on goal and took the easy option of putting the ball over the crossbar rather than really being ruthless and going for a goal. And that came back to haunt them, because despite their good swell of pressure to cut that lead back to a point, Kilmacud Crokes then got a chance in the 23rd minute. Craig Diaz coming forward, and it looked initially as if he kind of topped the ball over the bar, but you could see almost the instant that he realised maybe that there was more than just a point on, and he went for goal. And much more difficult opportunity than either of the Naas chances for a goal, but Diaz, he took his chance in clinical style, blasting the ball into the top corner of the net. And from then on, it was always a really difficult pass for Naas. It was the two goals that separated the sides at the halftime break, 2-7 to 7 points, and really any chance that Naas had of getting back into the game evaporated when Crokes got the first 2 points in the second half to extend that lead out to 8 points. And then the game was well and truly up then in the 37th minute when Hugh Kenny scored Crokes' third goal of the game. So it was 3 goals to difference in the end, 3-14 to 14 points. And yeah, look, Naas have been the best side in Kildare over the last couple of years. They may be the second or third best team in Leinster, but unfortunately, as I said, they were just up against a better side yesterday afternoon and probably didn't help themselves with just a couple of really bad and sloppy mistakes that cost them dearly in the end.
Let's hear then from the Naas manager, Joe Murphy.
Times we played fluent football, we made just probably 3 basic errors and we got punished for it, and that's what top grade teams do. You can't go and play one of the best teams in the country and hand them 3 goals this time of the year is just impossible to bring back. But in fairness to our guys, they never dropped their heads. They kept showing right to the end and brought the energy and that. And yeah, it wasn't to be our day today, unfortunately. And you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. We have to dust ourselves down and learn from it, and you know, regroup and come again. These guys are only starting their careers. The vast majority of them, with a couple of older heads, which you need on a team as well. So, you know, there's can be a lot of expectations and Naas from this group. They're very ambitious. Just talking in the dressing room afterwards and that, you know, they're very focused on where they want to get to. Today is a step in the wrong direction, but like I said, you know, there's plenty of ability there for us to come back and bounce back on.
Alright, that was Naas against Kilmacud Crokes yesterday. Ger, on Saturday, Ballyteague travelled to Park Tolton in Navan to play Dunshaughlin. They stayed with them for the majority of the first half maybe, but in the second half Dunshaughlin really pulled away.
Yeah, when you say the final scoreline, 219 to 10 points, it sounds like an absolute hammering and a real one-sided game. But in fairness, that doesn't tell the story at all, because I'd say even for 3/4 of the match, Ballyteague were right there with a very good Dunshaughlin side, who had a couple of senior inter-county players in their lineup. And indeed, again, kind of small margins went against Ballyteague, and they'd have a couple of regrets about different things that happened when the game was very close. Particularly, I suppose, and again, that's out of their hands, it was in first half injury time. They had a really good spell, actually, so I just got going back to earlier in the half, because they were playing into a strong wind with 2 points apiece, and then Ballyteague had a nice spell to go 4-2 ahead. They were 5-4 ahead. John Murphy scored an absolutely outstanding point in the 24th minute to make it 5-4. He had the whole of the huge travelling Ballyteague support, who I have to say were a huge credit to their club and their community and the way that they got behind their team. But they were all on their feet for Murphy's point in the 24th minute. It was one of the best scores that I've seen this year, and I've said that before about Fionn Murphy, with one of the points that he got in the county final in St. Collins Park. But he's had a fantastic year, and that made it 5-4. But Don Shockton then came back, made it 5-3, and I should say Don Shockton came back then with 3 in a row to go 6-5 ahead. And then in the first half injury time, probably a key moment in the game, Jimmy Hyland, who also was superb on the day for Ballyteague and ended up with 7 points, he wriggled his way through. He was clean through on goal before being dragged down just outside the square, and it was it would have been very interesting to see. I'm sure Jimmy would have fancied his chances of taking the opportunity, but before he could get a shot away, he was pulled down outside the square. And Niall Murphy, who was the Don Shockton captain, made that foul, and he was shown a black card for it. Jimmy converted the free, which was almost the last kick of the first half, to tie it up at 6 points apiece. And at that stage, you thought with an extra player for the opening 10 minutes and the wind behind them, that Ballyteague maybe had the opportunity to push on in the opening 10 minutes of the second half. And although they conceded the first point after the restart, when Hyland scored 2 in a row, the second of those two was a really excellent score in the 33rd minute, making 8-7 at that stage. It really felt that things were going to go Ballyteague's way, but after that, they only scored 2 more points in the remainder of the game. Don Shockton got a couple of scores to lead by 2 by the time they were back to 15 players. And then really the decisive moments of the game came when they scored 2 goals in 4 minutes in the 44th minute and the 48th minute as well. And that really was done and dusted, unfortunately, for Ballyteague. Then the heads dropped in the final quarter. They had a black card, they had a red card, and Don Shockton ran up a huge score that probably doesn't tell the full tale of the game, as I said.
The Ballyteague manager is Mick Ennis.
In the first half, we matched them. You know, it was tit for tat, score for score, and a right ding-dong battle. But they came out in the second half, and they came out, you know, they were a man down. They did redouble, every lad doubled his efforts, and it showed. Look, they're a fantastic side, they're a great side. They'll probably go very well in this Leinster. We're not disappointed. We've had a great journey all year. You know, winning the intermediate first time in 31 years was great for us. Now, we probably celebrated a little bit too much, but that's not making excuses. On the day, Dunshaughlin were a class outfit, and especially in the second half, they showed it. The support from everyone was brilliant. And to see the older club members, you know, with tears in their eyes after winning the county final, you know what I mean? And it just, the buzz went right through the parish. Like, people came out of woodwork, you know what I mean, to be involved, and it was a fantastic. And to be involved myself, it was just a privilege. It was an honour to be there and to see the joy and happiness they had brought to the people in the area of Valin and Ballyteague, Kilmeade, to all the surrounding area. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, Ballyteague manager Mick Ennis. Seamus Dillon is on the line with us now as well. Seamus, you were at the game between Strachan and Clonmore of Carlow on Saturday, and unfortunately Clonmore were victorious there, Strachan knocked out.
Yeah, Owen going down by 8 points to 3-5 at the end, and up to the 44th minute you would have thought that Strachan were in control and that they were going to win, but unfortunately from that 44th minute till the very end, with 4 minutes of injury time, Strachan failed to score for the end of it. They led 6 points to 1-2 at the half-time break. Bob Kelly and John Tracy opened up the scoring inside the opening 8 minutes with 2 good points. But it was Rory Power made it 3 points to 1 after 11. But Conmore struck then for the first goal of the game, and it was the wing-back that got Con Murphy through on goal, and he made no mistake. And Clonmore were starting to run at the Strachan defence at that stage, and they were causing them problems, and it was something that came back that they did later on in the game as well, where they got the 2 late goals. But leading 6 points to 1-2, Austin Allen and Rory Power extended that lead out to 8 points to 1-2, as I say, after 44 minutes. But that was to be Strachan's last score, and the guys from Clonmore hit 2-3 in that period in the closing stages. Two really well-worked goals, Owen Connolly and corner forward Jake Hickey, and The substitutes that they brought in, Owen Connolly, who got a goal, and Jake Hickey, who had been on from the start, and Dylan Doyle, who came in as a sub. Pacey little guys who caused problems for the defence, and Strachan were just stagnant in that closing 15 minutes. They just couldn't get their hands on the ball to get them back into it, and Clonmore ran out easy enough winners in the end, and a 3-5 to 8 point scoreline. But Strachan was very disappointed, because they were very clinical in their performance against Barra House and hitting 15 points in the second half, and they came nowhere near that on Saturday, and they were disappointed.
Yeah, unfortunately, Naas, Ballyteague and Strachan all losing their Leinster Championship games at the weekend, but of course it doesn't overshadow the fantastic achievement at those three clubs winning the county titles at senior, intermediate and junior grade. As we mentioned as well, good news though for the Maynooth Camogie side. They were 4-15 to 2-point winners against Mount Leinster Rangers in Maynooth at the weekend, and they advance now to the semi-final of the Leinster Junior Camogie Championship.